Well, we're looking at Psalm 116 this morning. You'll find that on page 615 of your Bibles, but on the screens as well. A good psalm, I thought, for communion, but much more to it than first meets the eye. So let's read that together. This is God's word. The psalmist writes, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call in the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. So I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call in the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." I want us to think for a few moments about the big moments of life. Think about your wedding day, for example. I asked the elders just this weekend what their first dance was, what was the music that they picked. That's a big moment. Here's what they said. You can try and work out who's who here. Someone had picked Sinatra, always good. "I've Got You Under My Skin," isn't that romantic? Someone had "All the Years" by Wild Child. I've never heard of that, sorry. Okay, that was you then, Katie. I like this one, Diana Ross, "When You Tell Me That You Love Me." Isn't that lovely? And someone was very eclectic. They had Mozart, "Eine kleine Nachtmusik," which is a little night music. They also did say that was a real chart topper at the time. So, at the other end of life then, increasingly people are picking songs for their funerals. The most popular choice still for funerals is also Sinatra, "It's My Way." That's an awful choice for a funeral. But there are as many choices there as there are for the weddings. The big moments seem to inspire music. And we have a lot of choice these days. We look to the words of others to try and frame a moment or capture a feeling. And then there's the memory that we attach to these pieces of music. When you hear them, maybe years later, you fast travel back to that moment and back to that feeling. Some do that with hymns as well. And in the Psalms, we see the same idea. Psalm 116, it is pure memory and feeling. Memory maybe of the Exodus from Egypt and the original Passover, but it's also a touchstone for every Passover after that. It's a psalm that Jesus would have sung with his disciples at the Last Supper. So it's an appropriate choice for communion this morning, but it's also important for our lives as Christian people. Let me just very quickly show you how. The first thing to say to ourselves today is we could all trust God more than we do. The opening of this psalm is actually astounding, and it's rare. It is a full-throated pledge of love for God that gives the rest of the psalm its theme. It's almost like he's saying, I love the Lord, here's why. And off he goes then into his song. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him for as long as I live. That's unusual. Here's a man or a woman who's had a big life moment and they feel that they have to sing about it. They have to write a song to capture the feeling. There's passion for God, but passion as well for deliverance, that rescue that will last them a lifetime. Now, we'll come to what that might have been in a moment, but we cannot let the phrases of faith go by us too quickly. They're scattered through the psalm, almost as if they reflect the life of a believer. Praise and love will punctuate a whole life, not just a couple of moments in it. He keeps those reminders going. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. And he almost to speak to himself, go back to that feeling. Go back to rest, my soul. The Lord's been good. Or what shall I return to the Lord for his goodness to me? Or that declaration, truly, I am your servant, Lord. Let's go back to the point. We could all trust God more than we do. There's a shame, I think, in reading these words because they don't naturally reflect how we feel day to day. Can we really say that we live lives that are thankful or based on grateful love and devotion? I mean, yes, you can come to church on a Sunday and remember the gospel, that's good, but the psalmist shows us that we can all go further. And we're not alone in that. This song was part of the remembrance of Egypt, the Exodus, because even that monumental moment of salvation lived short in the memory of God's people. They forgot. They drifted away. They cooled in their passion for God. So they needed songs to remind them. Our communion reminds us of a greater salvation. And only you can know how you're approaching that this morning. Are we relaxed about it? Did we actually forget that it was communion today? Was the white tablecloth a surprise? Are we here just to top up our forgiveness for another couple of months? Is that what we're doing? Or are we passionate about what Jesus has done for us? Well, that's a big headline question. And we can summarize the answer easy enough. We can say, yeah, Jesus died for us. He saved us. But the specifics of your life are important as well. Psalm 116 is not just general. It's specific. You can feel that on a rereading. And what it tells us is that we need a sharp memory when it comes to what God has done for us. This singer has a sharp memory. He knows the details. And it could be a memory of Egypt. This psalm was used to remember that. I think these lines almost describe that deliverance from death. That's the Passover. Eyes from tears, no more weeping, no more bitterness in their lives. No more stumbling under heavy loads, no more slavery. And they're heading to a new place, that the land of the living. Egypt was a land of death for them. That could be what you're seeing there. And yet it seems more personal than that. Now, what it is, we're not sure, but the poetry gets in the way a little bit, and yet the poetry itself speaks quite loudly. Listen to some of these lines. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. Cords of death, anguish of the grave. Later on, he talks about chains. Those are prison pictures. I think we can safely mash the slavery of Egypt with these feelings of death. It's all of a piece. Now, we We don't share these memories. It's not in our culture. So the feeling of these words is more important than the memory. And we try to give that feeling to the kids. It's the fear of drowning. It's the helplessness of sinking. Death is coming fast. And then the hand reaches for us. The rescue ring lands above our heads. And suddenly there's something to reach for. There's a way out. If you've ever almost drowned, it's unforgettable, isn't it? It's a strong feeling. If you've been saved by someone, then they're unforgettable. We'll never forget them. And there it is. What salvation feels like. The feeling of the gospel. And it's such an important feeling that we put music and words to it. Those could be these words, the words of your favorite hymn. It could be a favorite verse. I don't mind. Whatever keeps your memory sharp for the gospel. Now, if that's all true, then there's no such thing as private faith. I'm going to upset some people this morning. But I hope we've spent enough weeks together, enough years together, that you could disagree with me here, but I don't want you to doubt my heart. All of this is for our good. It's all said in love. Now you're really listening, aren't you? There's no such thing as private faith. We need sharp memories of our salvation. Why? Because those memories are not just for you. First and foremost, our memory of salvation connects us to God. Remember those first lines? I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. Those words echo all through the psalm, but they peak in verse 12. Here it is. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? Nothing but gratitude. And it's the right way round as well. He's not buying salvation, he's responding to it. It'd be like somebody paying your mortgage in full. There is nothing you wouldn't do for that person, right? Folks, that person is God. That payment is made by Jesus. The second thing is that our sharp memory of salvation is for other people. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the presence of all his people. There's no such thing as private faith. You and I will do this in a few moments. We will lift our glasses. We'll raise them to our lips. We'll remember together as one church, one people, with one Savior. That's really good. That's healthy, folks. That's a good remembrance. The lifted cup is celebration, a toast to having what was promised by God. And then it matches that promise with our own. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. Now, there's a cheap version of this out there in the world. You've heard this. You know those desperate prayers? Lord, if you save me, I promise I will, whatever. That's not what is happening here. We don't hope God will help us. We remember that he has. And so our response, our vow, is a solemn one because we know we will have to keep it. Do you feel the difference of that? Lord, if you save me from this, I'll be really good. As opposed to, God, you've been so good to me. What can I do for you? That's faith. There's no maybe about it. Now, we do all of this together in communion for another group of others. But there's another group of others outside our church family, or those who have wandered off. Paul says to us that Communion doesn't just remember, it proclaims. Here he is speaking to the Corinthians about their communion. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In other words, that is gospel memory proclaimed. There's no such thing as private faith. Because a sharp memory of our salvation is not for us, it's for God. It's his salvation. He pays the bill. We sang those words earlier. Salvation belongs to our God. But why does God do that? Why does God pay? Because the psalmist tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Do you know, behind the word precious, it is a whole world of words. They paint a very dramatic picture of what's happening here. Precious can mean costly. It can mean weighty or heavy. It can mean something that's full of pomp. It can even mean glorious. And you can pick those. I mean, if you were translating Psalm 116, I don't know how you like to translate things in your spare time. If you were doing that, you have all sorts of options there. You can make it your own. But it's really the language of the family heirloom. Do you know those objects, those items that get passed down? We handle them carefully, don't we? Because they're so important. They could be something that's really light, like an old photograph. It's the only one. And yet there's a weight to it. No matter what it is, the object has a story attached. Folks, that is how God looks at us. And all that he will say, we are so precious that he spent all he had to rescue us. He pays in the death of his son, and his story becomes our story. Now, doesn't that change the rescue picture? Folks, you're not just anybody who needed a rescue. God didn't come upon you and go, oh, they need help, I'll help. You were precious in God's sight and worth any price to rescue. And so is your neighbor, the colleague at work, the family member, the best friend you keep praying for, your husband or wife who doesn't yet believe, your kids, your grandkids. Am I painting a picture here? They're precious to God. Folks, keep looking at that verse with me. Glance at it again. Read it for yourself. It's life-changing in all the ways that matter. It is more beautiful than anything else you could cast your eye upon. But it's also the inspiration of a life. Look at how quickly this man or woman in Psalm 116 will do anything they can for the Lord who has saved them. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. Did you see that on the way through? We miss it. What is precious? The death of those faithful servants? And this person doesn't even blink. I'm one of those servants. I will die for this. Here's something you haven't heard in a while. This calling of ours, this faith we profess, comes at a great cost. A great cost. Now, if I say that to my Christian brothers and sisters in somewhere like Iran this morning, they wouldn't even blink. They know the cost. But I say it here in the West, and I get blank faces. I hear excuses about being embarrassed or nervous about talking about Jesus. We get others to agree with us, don't we? That it's really hard to share your faith. And so we give the excuse and we take an easier path. It comes at a great cost. So listen, you can go through the motions this morning with bread and wine and gospel, Or we could let ourselves feel a little bit of guilt in the presence of Psalm 116. We can count the cost of faith once again, the cost that God paid for you, and the cost that we know we will have to pay to bring good news to those who are precious in his sight. Shall I pray for us? Father God, Jesus told us to count the cost before we follow him. Lord, we may not have done that. And so we pray for your help to count it today. Before we eat and drink and proclaim your son together, Lord, prepare us for service in your kingdom. Lord, help us to make and keep our vows. In Jesus' name, amen.